Hi, Hak Samea again. And I pray that everybody has had a blessed feast as we have, especially in the days we're living in, the times ahead. And it's like the holy days are always kind of like, the Yahweh putting protection around his people during the worst times. And they always, trouble always seems to happen around the holy days, particularly in Israel. We've seen that for many, many years. So, the seventh day of the feast here, I'd like to give a message today called Yahweh's Justice. And it's really fitting. I didn't, of course, as I'm putting this together, a while ago, I didn't know there'd be war and all this other stuff going on. Planned to do this for the seventh day, but here we are. And I think this message really, really fits in for currently what's happening in the world today. So I want to start in John 18, verse 33 through 40. And it says, this is when Yeshua is before Pilate. Then Pilate again went into the praetorium and called Yeshua and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Yeshua answered him, "Do you say this from your heart, or did others tell me about you?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your nation, even the chief priests, delivered you up to me. What did you do?" Yeshua answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have fought that I might not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here." Then Pilate said to him, "Are you really a king?" Yeshua answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I have been born, and for this I come into the world, that I might witness to the truth. Everyone being of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" There's no truth in Satan's system, right? And saying this, he again went out to the Jews and said to them, "I do not find even one crime in him," right? So why is he saying what is truth? Because he sees it. He sees that the Jews are bringing Yeshua there just through envy, right? They know who he is, as we're going to see here in a minute. And they're doing it just to keep their own position. They're totally lying, obstructing justice. And Pilate, who isn't necessarily, a righteous person by any means, he's seeing this and saying what is truth. And wow, do we see the same today? Everything you see in the news, everything you see from government officials, everything that's said, it's the same thing. What is truth? Everything is manipulated. Everything is lied about. And here we are 2,000 years later, same situation. Pilate said, "What is truth?" And saying this again, he went into the Jews and said to them, "I do not find even one crime in him. But there is a common custom to you that I should release one prisoner to you at the Passover. Then you decide, should I release the king of the Jews?" So should you release the person who did nothing wrong and actually was just helping people and healing people, for his whole life? But look what they said. Then they cried out again, saying, "Not this one, but Barabbas." But Barabbas was a robber. And it's kind of interesting. Unless you understand the Aramaic, you wouldn't understand that Barabbas, it's an Aramaic word, an Aramaic name, which means son of the father. Right? And is actually the interesting part was his first name was Yeshua. So you have Yeshua, the son of the father, who is a insurrectionist, a murderer, and a robber. And you have the real Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, who is the true king of the universe and, the creator of the world and has only done good, never even one sin in his life, never mind a bad thought, anything. And that's the one that they want murdered, and they want Barabbas. So, wow, what is truth in Satan's system, right? So they had the creator of the world in front of them. Can you imagine the creator? And I always say, can you imagine just being 5 minutes with Yeshua? The one who was no beginning, no end, created everything, the Bible says, for just 5 minutes alone with him, talking to him. And they had him there not for 5 minutes, but for 32, 33 years. And they chose a murderer and a thief. Luke 23. Let's see a little more of this story. In Luke. Like I said, all of the synoptic good news messages complement each other. And one might have a little bit more to a story than another, but none of them contradict each other. And in Luke here, 23:13 through 25. And it says, "And having called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, Pilate said to him, 'You brought this man to me as perverting the people,'" talking about Yeshua. "And behold, examining him before you, I found nothing blamable in this man regarding that which you charge against him." So Pilate's the governor, right? Like he said to Yeshua, "Don't you know I have authority to let you go and I have authority to crucify you?" But apparently he didn't use his authority. Why? Because of the crowd. Because of his own fear of what's happening with people. The same we see today. Do politicians make decisions based on what's right? No way on earth. They make decisions what's best for them. "But neither did Herod, for I sent you up to him, and behold, nothing worthy of death is done by him. Therefore, chastising him, I will release him," right? It's like, yeah, let's beat him a little bit, make you happy, and then we'll release him. "And he had to release them one at the feast." It was a custom that they had, that one prisoner would be shown mercy and let go. "And they all together shouted, saying, 'Take this one and release Barabbas to us.' He who was thrown into prison due to some revolt and murder occurring in the city," right? So where Yeshua was not looking for revolt, he was looking to take the kingdom of Yahweh by changing our hearts. And like he told the apostles, you know, that if you have enemies and you show love to your enemy, he's not your enemy anymore. And if you do this person by person, sooner or later, there'll be no enemies anymore. "Then Pilate again called out, desiring to release Yeshua. But they shouted, saying, 'Crucify, crucify him.' And a third time he said to them, 'For what evil did this one do? I found no cause of death in him. Therefore, chastising him, I will release him.' But with loud voices, they insisted, asking for him to be crucified, and their voices and that of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate commanded their request to be granted." And we're going to see from the next scripture how evil this is, because not only did they insist that they want Yeshua to be killed because they wanted to hold their own position, but they knew who he was, which even makes it more evil. "And he released to them the one thrown into prison due to revolt and murder, whom they had asked, but he delivered Yeshua to their will." Wow. So we see this, and another thing is kind of interesting, like I said, because Pilate, if he really was, had any sort of righteousness in him, he was the governor. He had, like he said to Yeshua, he had the authority. Did he use it? No. No. Because that's what politicians do. And unfortunately, many people in authority, pastors, priests, they all do what's best for them. And that is not Yahweh's justice. That's the justice, the injustice that you have in commercial Babylon and Satan's system. Look back to verse 12. And it says, "And on the same day, both Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for before they were at enmity between each other." So why were they at enmity between each other? Because they both feared each other, because they both had a point of authority, and they feared each other was going to hurt the other one. But evil loves evil, right? And here's the day where they're destroying Yeshua, the only thing that was good. And what do? They become friends, right? So evil loves evil. And like I say, don't look for justice in the system of Satan. And it's ironic that that's what people will say, you know, that are human nature, and humans are evil all the way through. Every human being is. And they'll self-righteously make these claims. "Well, if Elohim really is real, why does he allow this and why does he allow that?" Because mankind was under the Garden of Eden. Mankind was under the influence of Yahweh's justice, and mankind rejected that in the Garden of Eden. And 6,000 years later, mankind rejects it every single day. So here it is, the person that's saying Yahweh doesn't exist, and then they're blaming Yahweh for the evil in the world that comes by mankind making these choices of their own. So it's pathetic, it's self-righteous, but don't look for justice in Satan's system, because you're not going to get it. You know, actually be happy when you only get some injustice, because as we see here, there's no end to Satan's injustice. There's no end to it. So don't look for justice in Satan's system. Don't look for it. That's not our job. Our job is not to bring justice to Satan's system, like in Babylon today, right? And, you know, I feel bad because some of these people are good people, you know, and they're in positions of authority, and they might be radio announcers or whatever. And they're all saying, you know, they want to take the country back. They want to take the country back. There's nothing to take back, right? If you're a real believer, we're not trying to take back. We're trying to look forward to the kingdom of Yahweh. And you're never going to find justice in Satan's system, so don't look for it. That's not our message. Our message is not to bring justice to the system of Satan. Our message is how much injustice is in that system, and that there's something better. You don't have to stay in that system. I'm not part of commercial Babylon, so I don't need Satan's justice. I have the justice of Yahweh. So the Pharisees knew that Yeshua was, right? They knew he was from Yahweh, but they killed him to keep their position. John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. This proves this. John chapter 3, 1 and 2. He says, "But there was a man from the Pharisees, Nicodemus was his name, a ruler of the Jews. This one who came to Yeshua by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we,'" who's we? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? "We know that you come as a teacher from Elohim. For no one is able to do these miraculous signs which you do, except Elohim be with them." So even when they were before Yeshua, they know that. They knew that, you know, unless Yahweh was with him, he couldn't heal the blind person. He couldn't heal a leper. He couldn't heal a crippled. He couldn't raise the dead. He certainly couldn't do that. He couldn't command the wind, you know, in nature, unless Yahweh was with them. They knew it. And right here in Scripture proves that they knew it. And what was their answer? You know what? If we don't do something, this guy is going to wind up taking our position. We got to kill him. And you see the same today. You see in politics, people run against each other, right? And when they're running against each other, they're telling all the truth. "Hey, you know what this guy did? This guy did this and this guy did that." You know, look at President Trump and Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State now, how they attacked each other, said all these bad things about each other. Ted Cruz, same thing. And then what happens? Once one wins, now we shake hands and we work with each other. Wow. What happened to all the bad things about this person? What happened to the person's a liar? What happened to all the things you said? How evil they were. They kind of forget about it because that's Satan's system. Don't look for justice in Satan's system. Satan's system is human beings doing what's best for them, and they'll lie, they'll cheat, and they'll steal, just like we saw with Barabbas and just like we see today, you know, that you can't believe anything that comes out of their mouth. The reason why they do things, like the war today that's going on in Iran, right? What did they say? That this war was all about weapons of mass destruction. Didn't we hear that before with Saddam Hussein? Until we find out there were no weapons of mass destruction. And Iran, I'm not sticking up for them or their regime or anything else. All I'm saying is they were not ready with a nuclear bomb. That is an absolute 100% lie. And every intelligence agency, including in America, says that. So, but that was supposed to be the reason. But that's what I thought happened 6 months ago. I thought that's what happened. I thought that President Trump said they went in there and destroyed all their nuclear stuff. They brought them back to the Stone Age. They can't do it. It's all gone. 100% it's destroyed. So you don't build nuclear stuff in a matter of months. That takes 10 or 20 years to put nuclear stuff. And they never had any capability of a ICBM missile to bring it anywhere. And yet all of a sudden now, because they want to go and attack them again, what happens? Now you got to make up an excuse, so you lie again. Oh, they were a week or two away from the bomb. But you know what? Go and do a search on the news and look. They've been saying that since 1985. You could find video of Benjamin Netanyahu since 1985 saying they're a week or two away from the bomb. Okay, here we are. 40 years later, still no bomb. So that's Satan's system. And it's not even for the betterment of the people, right? Sometimes they say, well, government's got to lie to people, you know, to protect them. No, they don't. And they don't lie to protect the people. They lie to protect themselves. So I hope anybody hearing this, especially new people, will understand never put any trust in human government. And that's why we don't vote, right? Because if I vote for these people, now I'm liable for the things they're doing if I vote for them. My kingdom is not of this world. That's what Yeshua said, right? And I am an ambassador for the kingdom of Yahweh. So if I belong to the kingdom of Yahweh, why would I vote in a foreign election? The same way if you're an American, you're not voting in Canadian elections. And, you know, if you're a Filipino, you're not voting in Thailand elections. If they even have elections, I don't know. But we are members of the kingdom of Yahweh, right? So they knew who he was. And here we are 2,000 years later. And the same thing is happening. Ezekiel 45, 8 through 10. Ezekiel 45, 8 through 10. This is about the coming justice that will be in Israel very soon. Not today. It's not there. It's not with their current government. But it will be there with the government of Yeshua. Ezekiel 45 and verse 8, it shall be for a land to him for a possession in Israel, and my rulers shall not oppress my people anymore. And they shall give the land to the house of Israel according to their tribes. So says Adonai Yahweh, enough for you, O rulers of Israel. Turn away violence and oppression and do justice and righteousness. Lift away your acts of violence from my people, declares Adonai Yahweh. Justice, just balances, and a just ephah and a just bat let there be to you, right? Equal balances is what they're supposed to be. And that is not in Israel today. And it's never been there. You know, in 1945 when Israel, or 1948, when Israel became a modern nation, the Torah was not their constitution. It was trying to be a democracy. Many of the people that started Israel were atheists. You know, they didn't even believe in anything. You know, the whole kibbutz movement. I say this when we would teach kibbutz. You know, in Israel, when they came in 1910 and started kibbutz, and it was youth that came. It wasn't adults, it was youth, and it had nothing to do with Torah. It had nothing to do religiously. It was about youth coming from Russia and all these different areas that wanted to come and work the land. That's how the movement started, you know. So today, by far, you are not getting justice by Israel. And the government that is in there today under Prime Minister Netanyahu is not a very good government whatsoever, and they are lying to the people. It started a long time ago, but just look at COVID, what they did. You know, if you look at where the green passports and all that stuff with COVID all came from, it came from Israel. Most of the technology that's coming for the Mark of the Beast is all being made in Israel. You go down to Beersheba and those areas, they call it, you know, Little Silicon Valley, because that's where all these startup companies are coming from. And it's being used in a very, very demonic fashion. And unfortunately, people don't understand it. You know, I remember different times talking to, you know, different Israelis that I just met. You know, they didn't know that well, but you're just talking with them. And they were all so much for all this, all for AI and all this stuff that's coming, not understanding it. You know, not for evil reasons, just because that's business. And in Israel, you know, wow, a lot of this stuff is really, really big. But the government today there, you're not going to find justice. You're not going to find justice. And they lie to the people as much as President Trump and all other world leaders are lying to their people. You know, it's just some leaders are a little bit better at it than other leaders. But they are liars. They are not looking for justice. They're looking for world government, right? Satan is the God of this world, and his government is commercial Babylon, which is going to go down very soon, and then he will have global government that will be much worse. But that's the deception to the people. And unfortunately, the alternative is the great. The alternative is the kingdom of Yahweh. So when I say unfortunately, I mean unfortunately that the people are not coming out of that system. That's the unfortunate part. But the fortunate part is if you do, the kingdom of Yahweh is waiting for all of us. And we can live in that kingdom now, right? Because it's a mental aspect to live in it. There'll be a real kingdom that's coming very soon. But as Yahweh's ambassadors, we need to mentally be living in that kingdom every day and not be living in commercial Babylon. It says, come out of there. Come out of that system that's there now and the land, both of them. Isaiah 59, 7 through 9. Isaiah 59, 7 through 9. He says, their feet run to evil and they hurry to pour innocent blood. Thoughts and iniquity are their thoughts, wasting and ruin are in their ways. They do not know the way of peace and no justice is in their tracks. They have made crooked paths for themselves. Everyone going in them does not know peace. For this reason, justice is far from us and righteousness does not overtake us. We wait for light, but behold dimness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. So before, you know, there was always deception there. You look at the Oslo Accords in the 1990s. Boy, what deception is there, right? And they're going to make peace with the Palestinians. And Yasser Arafat is all of a sudden not a terrorist anymore. And everything's going great. And you knew it wasn't true. But boy, had a lot of trickery in it. And the way they made it seem like it was true. Today, they don't even try to hide it. You know, you see the Americans are negotiating with the Iranians. And then as they're negotiating, they go and bomb them and then come out and say, ha, 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 we really were negotiating in good faith and they've done it more than once. So how can you believe anything that's being said by anybody out there? And you really can't. And that's the internet. That's the internet world. You know, if you want to believe that, you know, all eggs are white, Go look on the internet. You can find out every single egg in the world is white. There is no other color of an egg but white. If you want to believe all eggs are brown, go on the internet and look, and you'll find out every single last egg in the world is brown. There is no other color. And you could probably find out that eggs are black and green and yellow, you know, maybe because it's Easter. But that's the way it is. Anything that you want to find out, and that's what I'm trying to tell people, that before the way it was, the internet was monitoring what you're doing, and they're pulling everything you're doing and make a profile of you. But now it's past that point. Now they have a profile of everyone, and they are creating that profile what they want you to be. So if they see that you want eggs to be black, they'll give you every article, every advertisement. They'll even sell you black eggs, you know, buy them from us. They'll give you whatever you want to hear, whatever lie you want to hear. And that's what Satan, he doesn't care what lie you believe, as long as you believe a lie. And that's what he's doing with people. Drop down to verse 14, and that's why we need to come out of that system. Because justice is only in the kingdom of Yahweh. And justice is driven back. Wow, is that an understatement? And righteousness stands far off. For truth stumbles in the plaza, and right is not able to enter. And the truth is lacking. And whoever turns from evil makes himself a prey. And that is true. That is absolutely true. The way the internet is today, look, anyone who stands up for the truth, whether it's the COVID shot killed people, or today, it's if you're saying what's going on with the war, anything else, you are ostracized. They put bounties out on you. They'll put bounties, 5,000, 10,000, depending on what you're saying is true. And they'll have all these influencers that are out there get all this money, right? And just to give these messages to all of these suckers that are following their websites to say the same thing against somebody, right? And we see it. You see it with people like Tucker Carlson, you know, and whoever's out there. As long as you're not following the narrative, that's what happens. The truth is lacking. Whoever turns from evil makes himself a prey. And they got the resources in Satan's system of commercial Babylon, and they will destroy anybody that they need to keep the truth from coming out. And Yahweh saw, and it was evil in his eyes, and there was no justice. It is evil. This system is evil. What's going on today is evil. It's absolutely evil. And the people of Yahweh should not be condoning it or should not be part of it. It's that simple. We should be the only ones, because we're the only ones with the truth. We should be the ones coming out and speaking against this. And he saw that there was no man, and he was astonished that there was no intercessor in his own arm. The right arm of Yahweh saved for him, and his righteousness sustained him, right? There is not going to be any human government that's going to change this, right? It is only going to be the kingdom of Yahweh that comes to the earth. That's the only thing that's going to change this. For he put on righteousness like armor, and a helmet of Yeshua he put on his head, and he put on robes of vengeance, his clothing, and he put on a zeal like a mantle. When Yeshua's coming back, like I said, look out, because he's got a sword in his hand, and he's coming to destroy all this unrighteousness. According to works, so he will repay fury to his foes, recompense to his foes, he will repay recompense to the coasts. Wow. So this is what we have to look forward to. This is the righteousness that will be coming. Where justice is lacking, there is no good. No hope, only evil and darkness. And that's why we don't want to be part of that. You know, you look at things like 9/11, you know, the towers coming down, and now they openly admitted that the government was in on it, that it was fake. Almost everybody, you know, goes out there. Because, and at the time, it was so evident that what they were saying, the narrative, wasn't true. You know, one of the so-called hijackers was rooming with a CIA agent. You know, they knew what was going on. They let the thing happen. And, you know, just to bring on that war. And wow, you know, so 9/11, 10/7, say the same thing. That was only, you know, 23, as horrible as it was. How did that happen? We lived in Israel, you know, we've lived in 25 years in the Middle East there, more than 20 years in Israel. And Israel is the most surveilled country in the world. You know, a mouse can't come up to that fence without getting shot with a paint gun or something. It doesn't happen in Israel. There's no way on earth. And I've heard the recordings from soldiers being told to stand down. And I've talked to people when we were there recently. I was talking with people, you know, in authority there that are investigating this. And nobody wants to admit that the government allowed it to happen to, you know, to bring on the next step of this global plan. But wow, they certainly had to know. There's no way on earth they couldn't have known. So we see these things, even World War II now. They've known it for years and years and years, but now they admit it. It's written in the history books of the children, you know, that the Americans allowed the bomb to come, you know, on their land so that they can enter the war. They allowed Pearl Harbor to happen so that U.S. had a reason to enter the war. And this is what man does. He justifies his evilness that it's for the greater good. But it's not for the greater good. And like I said, it's all to protect themselves. And that's what happens. Human beings, as we see, will do anything to protect themselves. This whole Epstein thing that's going on, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing lies and deception. And a lot of this, even maybe this war in Iran, is indirectly connected to that. Because people know how evil they were and the things they did, and they're trying to hide it from coming out. And people are being blackmailed. You know, it is a fact. So, like I said, for 45 years, we've been hearing, is Iran 2 weeks away from the bomb, or aren't they? You know, going back to 1985, and they still don't have one. What's going on here? Are we being lied to, or aren't we being lied to? And that's Satan's system. And Satan's system, there's just... don't look for justice. And the goalposts will always change. Because what they start by saying, we're doing this for this, all of a sudden comes next day, no, it's a whole different reason. You know, first, oh, we're doing a regime change. And then all of a sudden, no, it's against nuclear weapon. And then, no, we're doing it to help the people. It's always a different reason, because when you lie, you have to give more lies to cover the first lies. And that's what a liar does. But there's to the point where as people get older, like you look at President Trump now, and he probably does have some mental capacities that are falling, you know, that you can't cover those lies anymore. And you actually lie in the same sentence, and you have nowhere to cover him, and you can't then rely on anything, you know, that person can say. And I say it's really interesting, because when you look at Nebuchadnezzar, and I've said this since President Trump's first term, boy, does he fit the Nebuchadnezzar mold. Nebuchadnezzar did lose his mind, and, you know, had the long fingernails and was out eating grass for 7 years. So he did lose his mind. And we're seeing the same thing happening today with President Trump. Psalm 89 and verse 13. But that's why we have been called to something so much greater than this. And we have to embrace the kingdom of Yahweh. We have to embrace true justice and true righteousness. And that's the message we need to bring to people. Because in this world, I just came from India, also a really, really bad place, what the government is doing to the people. But you can bring that message of hope, you know, that you can be part of a greater government. The government that's going to be around forever. It's not a temporary government. Every other government will come and go, but the kingdom of Yahweh will last forever. Psalm 89, verse 13. He says, "You have a mighty arm. Your hand is strong, your right hand is high," right? Yeshua. "Justice and righteousness are your throne's foundation. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed is the people knowing the joyful sound. O Yahweh, they shall walk in the light of your face. They shall rejoice in your name always." Right? Is the name of Yahweh important? Of course. "And they are exalted in your righteousness," right? So with Yahweh, all things happen. You know, Romans 8:28, those who love for the good of those who love Yahweh and are called according to purpose. So when you're in covenant with Yahweh, you never have to worry, you know. Look at Richard Wurmbrand. Could you wind up in a concentration camp? Of course you can. But, you know, the flesh is going to die one way or the other, but the spirit is going to live forever. So anything that Yahweh allows, it's only to bring others to faith, and it's only for his work to go on. Look at that great ministry that Richard Wurmbrand was able to start after World War II that still goes on today, you know, of helping persecuted believers and suffering believers around the world. So everything works for the good, and we have to trust in Yahweh's righteousness. Psalm 82. It says, "Elohim stands in the company of the Almighty El. He judges in the midst of Elohim. Until when will you judge unjustly and lift up the faces of the wicked? Selah. Vindicate the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy and save out of the hand of the wicked. They neither know nor will understand. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I have said, you are Elohim, and all of you are sons of the Most High. But you shall die as men and fall like one of the rulers. Rise, O Elohim, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations." Right? Look at that. what he says, I have said you are Elohim and sons of the Most High. We are, have the Spirit of Yahweh in us if you've been baptized into his name and repented of your sins. And we are growing into being him. We're being like him. We're being part of his family. We're being sons and daughters. And like he says, we will inherit the earth with him. Yeshua is the king of all the earth, and he is sharing that inheritance with us. And he will judge the earth in righteousness, and we will be judging with him. So we got to prepare for that and get ready right now. Only when Yeshua returns can the kingdom of Yahweh bring true justice to the earth. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government is on his shoulder, and his name is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty El, the Prince of Peace, the one who fathered everlasting life, right? Yeshua, is he Elohim? Of course he is. Look, is he going to be born a child? Of course he was, right? So we understand this. There is no end to the increase of his government and of peace on the throne of David and on his kingdom to order it and to sustain it with justice and with righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will do this. You better believe he will. Yes, it will. It's coming. And praise Yahweh, we're not in the beginning of the plan. We're not back with Adam and Eve in that garden 6,000 years ago. We are at the end of it. We are winding this thing down. And knowing how close we are to that kingdom, every day of our life we should be preparing if we're really going to rule with him. Because he's not going to put somebody as the, you know, send you out to be the ruler of Pakistan or be the ruler of Egypt or whatever it's going to be, wherever he's going to send you, if you're not ready. You've got to prepare for this. And that's why this training that you're getting now should be the most important training of your life. You know, that's basically what our Bible school has been about for 22 years. Training people, you know, to get rid of the things they need to get rid of now and to change. But really, it's that change is so they can rule in the kingdom of Yahweh. It's to prepare you for ministry and prepare you for that kingdom. And you have to do it. You know, you're not just going to become a king of a nation without preparation. So what's the most important thing in your life right now? Is it just getting along in commercial Babylon? Or is it preparing to rule with Yeshua forever? And that's Yahweh's justice. That's what we should be focusing on. Deuteronomy 19 and verse 21. He says, and your eye shall not pity. Life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And people read this and they think that's something bad, right? Because in some of Muslim countries, if you stole something, they chop your hand off, right? That's not what he's talking about. When saying eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, life for life, it's talking about let the punishment fit the crime. It's talking about that if you stole a piece of candy, you're not going to get the death penalty. And we'll see that as we're going to read some of these judgments of Yahweh. So it's not a bad thing, the eye for eye. But even Yeshua, when he came, even though that's a really good thing, Yeshua even went above that because mercy and justice, you know, and pity even mean more than that, right? Even means more than that. So an eye for eye is justice. Let the punishment fit the crime, but also let there be mercy and forgiveness if there's repentance. That's what the new covenant is about. Matthew 5 in verse 38. Matthew 5 in verse 38. He says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We just read it, right? But I say to you, do not stand against the evil, but whoever strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. So is he literally telling you to go get beat up? That if somebody robs you and beats you up, you know, let him beat you up a second time? No. This is an analogy. It's an idiom. What he's saying basically is that if somebody hits you on the right side, give them the left side, meaningly forgive them. That if somebody does something to you, you know, if they stole from you, if they, you know, whatever it was, they lied to you, they lied about you, that you don't just hold bitterness forever against that person. By turning the other cheek, what it means is you're forgiving them and giving them the opportunity to do it again. So that's part of forgiveness. When you forgive somebody, you are giving the opportunity that they could do it again. And that we're human beings. We sin more than once. But that's the whole point of it. We have to give that opportunity if true repentance is there. And it doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. And that's why, do I forgive my brother, you know, once? Do I forgive him seven times? No, 77 times 77. We never stop forgiving. And that's what the turning the other cheek means. It means that when there is true repentance, you're giving opportunity for forgiveness. And he desiring to sue you and take your coat, allow him also to have the cloak. And whoever shall compel you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. He asking you to give, and he wishing to borrow from you, do not turn away. And somebody said to me one time, but isn't this like promoting evil? No. What this is doing is, you have the free will. If there is repentance, if there is a change of heart, if you think that by doing this you could help somebody, this is your choice. This is where somebody isn't robbing you at gunpoint. It's where you're saying, you don't have to rob me at gunpoint. I'll give you my coat. If you're cold, I'll give you my coat. You know? So you are the one in the driver's seat. You are the one that are making the choice in your life to put love, you know, before evilness. Doesn't mean you have to do it. Doesn't mean that if someone really is robbing you at gunpoint, you know, that you're going to allow him to rob somebody else. No, it means that you're giving the opportunity for forgiveness to turn the person's heart. That's what it's about. But you are freely choosing it. It's not being forced upon you. That's what this idiom is all about here. So we're not condoning evil, but willingly forgiving and showing mercy. This is justice. This is justice. Exodus 22. Let's go there now. And let's see. Let's see what Yahweh says about this. Because, you know, most times to have justice, you do need restitution. It's just that simple. So yes, we do forgive. But, you know, if somebody stole all of your child's, you know, school fund, and then they repented of it, you know, and they used it for whatever, you know, that doesn't bring the school money back. So there does have to be restitution with forgiveness most of the time. Now, sometimes a person can't. Sometimes if it's murder or something, or, you know, whatever, you know, and there's just forgiveness and love and hope that, you know, it doesn't happen again. But most of the time when it is something that's being stolen or taken or something wrong, there's restitution that has to go with it. So it's not just a matter of saying, ah, yeah, I forgive you, try better. No, that person has to make up for it. And that's why we say you don't give back, you pay forward. And you try to help somebody else not to be in that same situation. So Exodus 22, I'm going to read the first 15 verses here. He says, when a man steals an ox or a sheep and kills it or sells it, he shall pay 5 oxen for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. Right? So 4 to 1 and 5 to 1. That's restitution. And it also is a deterrent for people to do it. So the same way in Arab countries, not that I agree to it, that if someone steals a piece of candy, they should have their hand cut off. But I'll tell you one thing, in most of those countries that have that as a law, you don't see any crime. You know, it is a deterrent. I remember one time, even in Kenya, where many, many years ago, we were driving somewhere, the man had a pickup truck, we had our suitcases in the back, and we stopped for whatever, you know, to go in and get something. And we said, hey, is our bag's going to be good back here, you know, in an open pickup truck? He said, oh, yeah. He said, if anybody came and tried to take your bag, people would yell, thief, thief, and everybody would come and stone him. So it's a deterrent against crime, you know. So you do need that because human nature is human nature. If the thief is found breaking in and is stricken and dies, no blood will be shed for him, right? Yeah, he's breaking into your house and winds up being killed doing that. That there's no blood that would be shed for the thief that's doing that because he's in the wrong. If the sun has risen on him, blood is due to him. Repaying, he will repay. If he has nothing, then he should be sold for his theft, right? So if somebody steals, and that's where slavery comes from, where Yahweh allows it to pay the debt back, not slavery forever, but to pay the debt back. If the stolen thing finding is found in his hand alive, from ox to donkey to flock animal, he will pay double. When a man consumes a field or a vineyard and lets his beast loose and it consumes another's field, he shall repay the best of his field and the best of his vineyard, right? Yeah, so you have an animal that goes there and destroys somebody's property, then you're going to repay it with your property. When fire breaks out and finds thorns in shocked grain or standing grain, or if the field is burned up, repaying the one kindling the fire shall repay. So, yeah, you go out there and start a fire recklessly and destroy somebody's field, you got to pay for it. When a man gives silver or vessels to his neighbor to keep, and it is stolen from the man's house, if the thief is found, he will repay double. If the thief is not found, the master of the house shall be brought to Elohim to see whether or not he put out his hand to his neighbor's goods, right? Because some people say, oh, it was stolen, and they're stealing it. So Yahweh's not stupid. You know, all of these statutes and these judgments that are here, Yahweh is covering every base with it because he knows human nature. In every matter of trespass, for ox, for donkey, for sheep, for clothing, for anything lost of which it is said it is his, the case of both of them shall come to Elohim, whom Elohim declares guilty, he shall repay double to his neighbor. Right? So that's the point of it. Praise Yahweh in the congregation, 99% of the time, you don't have to worry about this because people are going to tell the truth. You do have that rare occurrence, and I've had it, where somebody does try to lie and they steal and then they lie. And those are usually people that aren't true believers anyway, and they wind up, you know, either being put out or leave. But for 99% of the true brethren, they would never do this. When a man gives a donkey or an ox to his neighbor or a sheep or any animal to keep, and it dies and is injured or is captured, and no one is seeing it, an oath of Yahweh shall be between them both, that he has not put his hand to his neighbor's goods, and its owner shall take it, and he shall not repay, right? So here it is. Your neighbor or your friend or brethren goes away and says, hey, can you watch my cat while I'm away? And you go away and the cat dies. You know, nothing that the person did wrong, the cat just happened to die. There is no, you know, compensation has to be paid. It just happened. It wasn't because of negligence, which is right. That's justice. You're doing a favor for somebody. And if something happens and you had to repay, people wouldn't do favors then. They would be afraid. And that happens today. That's why many people that are witnesses to crimes are afraid to come forward because they wind up getting attacked or something or sued or whatever. And if it is indeed stolen from him, he shall repay to his master. If it is completely torn in pieces, he shall bring it as a witness. He shall not repay that which was torn. So again, you know, you're watching your brother or sister's cat or dog or something, and an animal comes in, a wild fox or something comes in and kills that animal, what can you do? It just happens. And when a man borrows from his neighbor and it is hurt or dies, its owner not being with it, paying, he shall repay, right? So, but if you're borrowing something, if you're borrowing somebody's animal to plow your field, and while you're plowing, that animal gets hurt, of course you got to pay back. I had this happen one time with a vehicle I had for work. You know, that I use this vehicle for work, and one of my workers asked, can I use it on Sunday to move something? Nothing to do with work, personal. And he took it and he broke the windshield. So he needs to replace that windshield because he's not using it for work. Now, if he's using it for work and the windshield broke, he's my employee. I have to pay. But if he's using it separately, that would be his. That's justice. If its owner is with it, he shall not repay. It is hired. It comes by its hire, right? So that's just the way it works. That's the way it works. Just like if you're renting a car, you know, and the car, the windshield breaks in the car from a, you know, Hertz or something like that, that's not your fault if it just happens. And that's their company. They're a rental car company. So, but of course, they always want you to take the extra insurance, even though most of the times you don't have to, because they're trying to get more money, and that's more injustice in the world's sake. So most times you need restitution for justice, but the person wrong can forgive out of mercy too. And I've had this happen where somebody used something and broke it or whatever, you know, or couldn't pay me back. And I said, don't worry about it. You know what? I know your heart is right. I know you tried. I know it wasn't your fault. Don't worry. So we can have also mercy that comes in for restitution and forgive out of mercy. But what is all this based on? The justice is based on the Torah for morality and justice. And that's the problem today. If you don't have a standard for justice, then what are you going by? Now, most countries have a law, right? Quote unquote law that comes from a constitution or whatever. Some of it is halfway decent. Some of the countries it's not, you know. But you'll never have justice unless you have the means to bring the justice. And that's what the Torah is for. The Torah is not just law, it's instruction, and it's instruction in morality. So it is important. Luke 7 and verse 36. And like I said, justice is showing mercy when there's true repentance. Luke 7 and verse 36. And a certain one of the Pharisees asked him that he eat with him, and going into the Pharisee's house, he reclined. And behold, a woman who was a sinner in the city, knowing that he reclined in the Pharisee's house, taking an alabaster vial of ointment, and stood behind him and was crying at his feet, Yeshua talking about. And she began washing his feet with her tears, and then wiping with the hair of her head. And she was kissing his feet and anointing them with ointment. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw that, he reasoned within himself and said, if this man was a prophet, he would realize who she was and what her reputation is. That woman, she is a sinner that who touched him. And answering, Yeshua said to the man, Simon, I have a thing to say to you. And he said, speak, Rabbi. There were two debtors to a certain creditor. One owed 500 denarii and one owed 50. But because they did not have a thing to pay, he freely forgave them both. To which of them do you say will love him the most? Then answering, Simon said, I suppose the one whom he freely forgave the most, and to whom he said, and he said to him, you have judged rightly. And turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give water for my feet, but she washed my feet with tears and wiped off with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but she when I entered, she did not stop fervently kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with oil of incense. For I say to you, because her sins that are forgiven her are many, she has loved much. But he that is forgiven little loves him little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those reclining with him began to say with themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? But Yeshua said to the woman, your faith has given you life. Go in peace, right? So that's the point of the New Testament. We're all sinners at the same rate. The fact that we are all sinners and we do want to show mercy, we don't want to allow that mercy to overtake justice. Because when somebody is doing something wrong, when somebody did steal, if you don't allow them to pay that back, they're never going to learn from it. So you're not making them pay it back as a punishment, you're making them pay it back as justice. So yes, there are times to show mercy, like in this case here, and especially when there's repentance, but many times by allowing a person due restitution, it helps them to grow and it helps them to see what they did wrong and it helps the system of justice. So that's where Yahweh's wisdom comes from, his spirit. But in today's society, people only show leniency when they get something out of it. It's the same thing in politics, right? People are only showing leniency. You shake my hand, I shake your hand, and that's the way it works in this world system. Politicians are corrupt. It's the worst we've ever seen, you know. The World Economic Forum, everything is, you know, how do politicians get in there? They don't work jobs, most of them. They're having money that are given to them from, you know, all of these companies, these companies that have all the pharmaceutical companies and the oil companies and these other companies are giving all the millions of dollars to put people in power. And then when they get in power, it's like they're representative. So you're not going to see justice. You're not going to see mercy. You're not going to see it in Satan's system, because they're doing the will, these politicians, of their masters, who it's all corporate America, commercial Babylon, who's running things. Job 37 and verse 23, but it shouldn't be that way with Yahweh's people. Job 37, and particularly, you know, you want to make sure, even when you're ordained, you know, that we're still following justice. We're all following the same system. So we're not going to cover over offenses, even if somebody is a deacon or an elder, you know, because it's the buddy system. No. The best way that you can help somebody and be a friend to somebody is to show them their fault. And the best thing a person can do as a believer is repent of that and change. So Job 37 verse 23 says, we cannot find him, the Almighty. He is exalted in power, and he does not violate justice and abundant righteousness. So men, fear him. He does not see any who are wise of heart. So that's why we're to fear Yahweh. That's the one. It doesn't matter what man sees. It doesn't matter whether you're caught or not caught. We have to fear Yahweh. And if we did something wrong, we have to repent. We have to change. We have to make restitution. You have to make it right, and then you move on. You move on from there. Matthew 5, 17 through 20. Matthew 5, 17 through 20. And again, where does the basis of all that morality and justice have to come from? From Yahweh's Torah. Without the Torah, what else would we be judging by? Right? Because man's human nature is evil. Matthew 5:17, Yeshua speaking says, do not think I came to annul the Torah of the prophets. I did not come to annul, but to fulfill. Truly I say to you, until the heavens and the earth pass away, in no way shall one yod or one stroke pass away from the Torah until all comes to pass. Therefore, whoever loosens one of these commandments, the least, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the worst in the kingdom of heaven. Meaningly, he's not there. That in the kingdom of Yahweh, that's what we're saying. These evil men that claim to be pastors, that claim to be, you know, Bible-believing people and telling people the Torah is bad. We're telling people and they're not there. They're not in the kingdom. But whoever does and teaches them, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, if your righteousness shall not exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, and we saw what the scribes and Pharisees were, you know, you shall not enter the kingdom of Yahweh, never. So, this is basically Yahweh's justice. The Torah cannot be replaced because there'd be no justice without it. You need a basis for morality. There's got to be a basis there. And that basis is the Torah. And that's why, like I said, the world was not created in incense. Yahweh says that incense is a evil thing, you know, for brothers and sisters to have relations and that kind of thing. Yahweh says it's evil, so he would never create the world through that because it's a law against what he's saying. And yet today, the world, they don't want to believe that there were other people in the Garden of Eden. Not in the Garden of Eden, but created at that time. And they want to believe that, yeah, that it was okay then, and because of genetics, it became bad. No. It was evil from creation, and it's evil today. It's a perversion. And it never changes, and that's why the morality of the Torah is forever. The morality of the Torah stands forever, and that is the basis for our morality. Proverbs 21, 2 and 3. Proverbs 21, 2 and 3 says, every way of a man is upright in his own eyes, but Yahweh weighs the heart. For Yahweh, to do righteousness and justice, is to be chosen more than sacrifice, right? He did not desire sacrifice. But justice, righteousness and justice, that's what is more important than Yahweh, than killing an animal. It's not about going out there and lying and stealing and then saying, oh, you know, let me just kill this animal and then I'll get all this weight off myself. My conscience will be clear. You know, it doesn't work that way. Nope. The animal system, like we know, it was just a reminder of them that they were sinners. So to Yahweh, justice is vital for human beings because we reap what we sow. And if things in your life aren't going good, you know, we do have to look at ourselves. We have to see, you know, are there things we're doing in our life that's not following Yahweh's system of justice that could be causing results that we're not happy with? 2 Samuel 12, because we see here with King David, who did have a heart of, even though he made big mistakes, not denying that, but he did have a heart of justice, right? He did rule with a heart of justice. 2 Samuel 12 says, and Yahweh sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in the city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich one had flocks and very many herds. The poor one had nothing except one little ewe lamb who he had bought and nourished. And it grew up with him and his sons together, and it ate of his morsel, and it drank from his cup, and it lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. We know, if you're ever around a sheep, they are the cutest little things in the world. And a traveler came to the rich one, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to prepare for the traveler who had come to him. And he took the ewe lamb of the poor man and prepared it for the man who had come to him. And David's anger glowed, right? David doesn't know who this guy is. Actually, he's talking about him. You know, David is the guy, but he doesn't know this. And his anger glows greatly against the man. And he said to Nathan, as Yahweh lives, surely the man who did this is a son of death. And he will repay fourfold for the ewe lamb because he has done this thing and because he had no pity. He had no pity. And today, with all these millions of articles that go out every day, and everybody gives their opinion there, it is, while human nature at its worst, because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold, and you're living it. You see people are so heartless. And even when somebody has somebody that dies or there's a tragedy, people are heartless, and there's no pity. There's no pity, there's no mercy, and there's no sorrow for other people. Just the selfish human nature comes to its full. It's a Laodicean era. This is what we're living in. So David was a great king because he understood justice and he had pity on the poor. Genesis 17, who else was the father of the faithful? The father of all three major religions today because he had this? Abraham. Genesis 18, 17 through 19. And Yahweh says this, and Abraham shall surely become a great and powerful nation. Not only a great father, right? But a great and powerful nation. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed in him. And why is this? For I have known him. Yahweh knew Abraham. So that whatever he may command his sons and his house after him, even they may keep the way of Yahweh to do righteousness and justice to the intent that Yahweh may bring on Abraham that which he has spoken him. Well, and I say this, you know, I give courses at the Bible school, you know, on child rearing and say, like, where all the fathers gone, where all the mothers gone. And in the Bible, very rarely do you see a son that's following the father. You know, even in the New Testament, where's the Apostle Peter's son? You know, where's the Apostle Jacob's son? Where's the Apostle Andrew's son? Where are any of the sons of anybody there? And many of the times, like even King David, who was a good king, who wasn't a good father, really, we see the horror that his sons did. So we see, though, Abraham that became the father of the covenant, the everlasting covenant. Why? Because Yahweh knew he'd take care of his son. He was going to teach him. He was going to make sure that his children did not come that way. That he was going to teach them righteousness, like he says, and justice to the intent that Yahweh has given to him. And Yahweh taught the Torah. That's what he says, you know, in Genesis 26. He says, because Abraham obeyed my statutes, my law, my Torah. Abraham was called because he taught justice to his sons. That word justice, the Hebrew word zadikah, like the word zadik, you know, zadik means righteous one. Justice acting according to the proper standard of Elohim from the Torah, which is acting according to the Torah. Yahweh's standard is the Torah with the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. Without the Torah, there is no standard of justice except man's perverted heart. And that's what people say. I judge from my heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So without, and that's why I say, you know, as bad as it is, some of these Muslims going out and doing all this jihad and all this other evil stuff, and it is wicked. More wicked than that is a Christian pastor saying the Torah is nailed to a cross. The Torah is evil. The Torah is done away with. Because without the Torah is the standard of justice. There is no justice without the Torah. There is no justice without the Torah. It's that simple. The Torah is the standard of justice. And without it, all you're left with is what we have today. Man's evil, perverted heart. And where does that leave us? Leave us to the point of World War III, where every man, woman, and child on the planet is getting ready, you know, to possibly be killed because of man's perversion and evil heart. Proverbs 1 and verse 8. Proverbs 1 and verse 8 says, my son, hear your father's instruction and do not forsake the Torah of your mother, right? The congregation is like a mother. We should be teaching the Torah. And like I said, it is the foundation. It's the instruction for life. You know, it can't give us life because we break it, but it's the foundation of life. It's the foundation of what is right and wrong, and that never changes. Jeremiah 23, but true righteousness will only come when the King of Righteousness comes. The Malek Zedek, right? The King of Righteousness. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will raise to David a righteous branch, right? And a king shall reign and act wisely, and he shall do justice and righteousness in the earth. Praise Yahweh. In his days, Judah will be saved, right? There's still hope for our brother. And Israel will dwell safely. And this is his name by which he shall be called. Yahweh Zedekenu. Yahweh our righteousness. Yahweh Zedekenu. That's why I said that word in Hebrew. Zedekah, which is righteous. So that's the point of it. The only the King Yeshua can bring the justice and righteousness. Isaiah 56 in verse 1, look what it says. And says Yahweh, keep justice and do righteousness, for my Yeshua is coming and my righteousness will be revealed. Keep justice and do righteousness. That's our job. We are the ambassadors for this. This is the message we're bringing. The message of hope, the message of the kingdom of Yahweh. And anybody on this planet, no matter where you live, no matter who you are, no matter whether you're male or female, you can join this kingdom. Praise Yahweh for that. Do justice. Yeshua is coming. And like I said, be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Revelation 20 in verse 6, the last scripture here. Revelation 20 in verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one having part in the first resurrection. The second death has no authority over these, but they will be priests of Yahweh and his Messiah and will reign with him 1,000 years. That is our hope. That is our destiny, right? That is our vocation. That is our future to reign with Yeshua. And we need to learn it now because it's not just the action, it's the thought, like Yeshua said. Remember? You know, the Torah says, you shall not commit murder. I say, if you even get angry at your brother or you commit, it's what's in our mind. So as the people of Yahweh and having His Spirit live in us, that's what He's changing. Not just giving us discipline not to do the acts, but giving us the true change of heart not to even have the thought. That's the miracle, I say, when you look at those scriptures, when the kingdom comes and it says they will learn war no more. Meaningly, it's not that there just isn't going to be war, because you could destroy all the weapons that they can't make war. They won't learn war. They're not going to think about it. The thought of fighting somebody else will never be there. It's going to be cooperation and love and service to mankind. So we are the ambassadors for that kingdom. This is what these days are all about. Praise Yahweh. And I bring this message as Yahweh's ambassador and servant. I've been blessed to go all over the world. I've been blessed to meet with world leaders, to go to different countries and share this message with the leaders and the politician people of countries, the religious leaders of countries. I've been blessed to be invited to the Israeli Knesset more than 25 times and share this message of hope and peace. Even the one time, the blessing of going to United Nations and being Yahweh's ambassador even there to stand up for what true justice is. So I would have never thought that I'd have these opportunities now. And I say, Yahweh can use each and every one of you. The harvest is ready, but the workers are few. And it doesn't matter. Yahweh, remember, He used 12 ordinary men in Scripture. He didn't use the scribes and the Pharisees and all the ones with all the degrees and all that kind of stuff. He used people whose hearts could be changed. And Yahweh could use any of us. And the key is, do you want to be used? The key is taking it serious and being trained. How can you go out if you're not trained? You know, like I said, that's why we've had the Bible school for 22 years. Because we have to train the people to go out, but each and every one of us now, the time is now, the great harvest is there, and this open door that Yahweh gives us in Revelation, it's not going to be there forever. Revelation 3. So let's do that. Let's be part of the solution instead of the problem. If you look for justice in the system of Satan, you're going to be really disappointed. The only true justice is in Yahweh's soon coming kingdom. As His ambassadors, we need to take this message to the world who needs it. And we need to only look for justice by Yahweh, the King of Righteousness, not in Satan's system of commercial Babylon. So, wow, what's going on today, this war and all this other thing, let's not get discouraged by it. It's inevitable that in this world you're going to have evil people and people that aren't looking for it. Let's be part of the solution. Let's go out there and let's, every day of our life, be a witness to Yahweh's justice and Yahweh's righteousness and be that example that will teach and bring others to faith and truth. So I pray you have a great, wonderful rest of this last day of unleavened. And Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.